Hello and welcome to another podcast. Today's topic is very, very important. Just to give you an idea, India has the second highest number of obese children in the world. Their numbers recorded almost 2 years ago were 14.4 million, and I'm sure the number is much higher now. This is at a stage where it's almost alarming. So today's podcast is all going to be about teenage and child obesity, how we can handle the situation a little better. So stay tuned. Before we get to anything else, let's look at some of the reasons why we are in this situation and why there are so many kids who are now in the category of overweight or obese. Firstly, I think let's look at the most important factor, which is diet. We now know that it contributes to almost 85% of your overall health, your overall looks, your overall body condition. So, of course, food is a very big factor. And a couple of years ago, when we were kids, when I was a kid, now I'm in my mid-30s, but I remember when I was a kid, I was a teenager, there were still not many eating joints, there were still not many popular fast food restaurants. We were not allowed to go out as much, and fast food wasn't basically a thing, and even packed food for that matter was very, very rare. But if you look at things now, fast food is on your fingertips. So all the kids have these food delivery apps on their phones, and your food is literally like a finger touch away, and there's no restriction in terms of how much money kids have, how much access to money they have these days, because since parents are very generous with most kids with their pocket money, and fast food being cheaper than healthy food, it's an easier option for them. Secondly, when you look at kids who stay in hostels, I remember when I used to have hostel food, it was just, there was no option for me. So I either have hostel food or I go hungry. I did not have the option of either ordering something or going somewhere where I could get food that was kind of in my budget. But now if you look at it, if somebody doesn't like fast food, they can always order out. If they can't order out, they can always get something which is processed. And I know of a lot of kids who are either in the school or their college who write to me every single day saying they want to change their lifestyle, but they're like, oh, but then the food is not good, so I end up having instant noodles and I end up eating out a lot. So yeah, I mean, these are some of the contributing factors there are in our lifestyles. Besides these factors, also a change people have made over years, and especially this comes to parents, is that I remember that for my mother, not cooking a meal actually was never an option. So there would always be fresh food, there would always be a home-cooked meal at home all the time. Also because previous generation, all the women were not working, so some of them were homemakers, and the homemakers always made sure that there was fresh food. And now the situation has flipped a lot. Like, a lot of women now are going out to work, and sometimes cooking meals is not an option. Sometimes eating out or ordering in is a faster way, and somehow the kids have gotten used to that as well. So yeah, these are some of the contributing factors that we have. Of course, there is no restriction and there is so much availability that monitoring or controlling your diet can be a real challenge. Let's look at the second factor there is to this problem, which actually causes the problem, and that is how mobile or how active the kids are. Now, we all know that 20 years ago, in the evening, if you go and see where the kids were, they've always been in the playground. And now we know that they're literally, first, there's no playground. And even if there is a playground, there are barely any kids playing out there because everyone's stuck to their screens. Either if it is a phone or the laptop or computer games, the average time an individual is spending on a screen is about 3 hours. And I can tell you from my experience, this is the average. So if you consider kids, I think it's upwards of 3 to 4. It's upwards of 4 to 5 hours, which means essentially they're just sitting in one place and just looking at the screens and not doing as much movement the body requires. So yeah, these are some of the factors that are there, which are responsible for making us and our kids second highest number of obese kids in the world. Now getting to the solution bit, like, what is it that we can do? at our homes as an individual, and maybe, you know, overall as a nation, to improve the situation and make sure that our future generations don't suffer as much. We now know that almost 40 to 50% of all school-going girls also have PCOD, which is very sad. To have such a clinical disorder, such a lifestyle disorder at a very young age, and schoolgirls being on contraceptive pills to manage their PCOS is not something we would ever expect our kids to go through, but then that's the reality. Let's now look at some of the things we can do to improve the situation. What are the tips and tricks one can use from a very early age to make sure that our kids eat healthy food? And we cannot insist more on having meals that are made from scratch, meals that are home cooked, meals that are freshly prepared. I'm a firm believer that, you know, when kids are in their formative years, which is, you know, less than 10 years of age, that's where you form most of the habits. And whatever habits you form during those years is something which the kids would stick to for a really long time. Now, it's very tempting to give your child what they want whenever they want and whenever they are cranky, because instantly they are quiet, they're shut, and, you know, your problem's off. But this is the key to also making sure that your kids develop a good habit. I know of a lot of parents who, you know, they would know that when a kid starts crying, you give them a biscuit and they will shut up. Now that's easy to do, but you do have to realize that whenever you're giving that biscuit or chips or french fries or whatever it is that you're giving, or even for that matter, giving them an iPad so that they calm themselves down, is actually not a good solution, because you're developing a bad habit in your child. So I know of a lot of parents who've now done this thing that, you know, from the time that your kids are toddlers, they take a decision that they're not going to feed kids. Say, hypothetically, they're not going to give table sugar to the kids. So I know of a friend personally who never gave table sugar to her daughter till she was about the age where she had to go to college, or she had to go to school, sorry. Till she was about the age when she had to go to school. And when she had to go to school, she gradually introduced a candy or two in her routine, but not as a prized possession or not as something special. This was just to make sure that when she's around other kids and they are having candies or whatever, she's not tempted, because that's something she hasn't had all her life. But because the child was never on table sugar, the child was never used to table sugar, she has a natural inclination to ask for things which are healthy. So this is a child who would wake up in the morning and say, I want to have a banana, or I want to have, you know, a roti or a misi roti or something like that. But the child has never developed the habit because the parents never fed the child like that. Now, if your kids are a little grown up and they're not toddlers and they're not used to this kind of eating, feeding them vegetables forcefully or telling them to have vegetables is not going to help, because they need to feel this from the inside to have it. So I can give you a few tricks that you can use to, you know, make sure that your kids are having healthier meals. So there's something that I highly recommend parents to do, is make, you know, your meals a culinary experience for the kids. And you can always do that in an interesting way. So if you want your kids to have veggies or healthier meals, what we can do is make your dinner time, and it doesn't have to be every day, but like make once in a week or twice a week your dinner time as a special getaway for the family, not in terms of actually going out somewhere, but making it like a theme. So having like theme meals and theme dinners, and I can give you very simple examples. Like you could have like a Mexican themed meal that day, and the whole family, which means the kids and the parents both, we can dress up a little Mexican, do something Mexican, figure out a meal that is Mexican made from scratch, and make your kids a part of the process. So not just the fact that they are getting fed that meal, they should be a part of the cooking of the meal also. And you need to attach stories to it. You need to attach experiences to it. Like, you know, if you've ever been to Mexico, your spouse has ever been to Mexico, you can, you know, build up a story around it and tell them your experiences about how, you know, you went to Mexico and things were this, and then cook the meal and talk about how Mexican people eat. And then you can add, you know, your veggies to it. You can add healthier options to it. So this is not just going to be an experience where your kids are eating healthy, but this would also be like a knowledge sharing experience, an interesting experience for them. And they would want to do it more and more. And similarly, you can do an Indian meal night. You could do, you could go state-wise and you could do a Punjabi meal night where you can share your experiences and how things are in that state. You could do it state-wise. You could do a Harry Potter theme. You could do a mermaid theme. Again, depends on what your kids like. But you could do a theme-based meal for them where you are cooking with them and encouraging them to dress up like they want to. Maybe their favorite cartoon character, whatever that is. But making those meals an interesting experience. So that's the only way you can have your kids to actually have interest in food. Understand, if you're trying to change... we're not trying to change kids' perception of food being bad. You want to try to give good food a good perception. And that will only come when they have a good experience attached to it. So these are some of the ways you can use, you know, for kids who are under 10 years of age, when they're formative years, when they're figuring out, you know, how their habits are. So if your kids are teenagers and they've started taking their own decisions, telling them what to do, forcing them what to do is definitely not going to help. In fact, it might as well backfire on you. So we cannot attempt to do that. And another very common mistake most parents make is that they try to tell their kids that they need to lose weight. They try to, you know, even if you're trying to do good for the kid, in all essentiality, in the kid's brain, you're actually body shaming them. And they're anyways going through a lot at that stage, you know, with their hormones settling in, their bodies changing, and they don't want another external person to tell them that they're not okay. So that's something which you cannot do. But you know, your kids will have an ideal, someone they look forward to. So you need to build positive examples around that person, that character, whatever that is, to make sure that, you know, your kids follow that. And another mistake that a lot of people don't do is that they don't lead by example. Understand that your kids are going to do something, or you're telling them to do it. They will do something when they see you lead with example. So when you have teenagers around you, you have to be very careful about what you do as a person, because they will do exactly what you do. And they will pick up those hints subconsciously. You can consciously tell them not to eat this. You can consciously tell them not to have fast food. But if you are having and you're telling the child not to have, that's not going to be a good space. But if you create that atmosphere where you are very disciplined by yourself, I think your kid will automatically pick up that habit. But you have to make sure that you never impose anything, because whatever you impose, they're going to do exactly the opposite. So you have to be very patient and calm. And very strategic about your approach towards a teenager. Because, you know, again, they're going through a lot. The next thing is regarding the physical activity of kids. And again, this is something I think across all ages, whether it's a toddler, whether it's somebody from, under 10 years of age, or it's a teenager, all kids will subconsciously pick up what their parents do. So if you want your kids to be active, you can't be on your phone all the time. You can't be in front of the TV all the time. You can't be on the couch all the time. If you have an active lifestyle, your kids will subconsciously pick up that signal. If you have an active lifestyle, if you're doing something at home, maybe you're working out at home, I think your kids are going to just copy you. And we've seen loads of these examples where we've seen people working out at their homes and their kids picking up that cue and doing exactly what the mother and the father are doing. So you need to create that atmosphere where your kids are not just being told to go out. You are actually setting an example. And again, how you can do it better is figure out an activity where you can get active as a family together. So wherever you are in the whichever part of the world you are in, whatever activity is possible from wherever you are, you should figure out ways and means where you can all get together and go out and do something which is meaningful. Like I remember when we were kids, we had this ritual that whenever we used to have summer holidays, our parents would play badmintons and we would always have a doubles match every day. And that would be like twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. So, you know, our parents made sure that we were active, but they were being active as well with us. And I remember when I grew up a little and I was a teenager, And my parents wanted me to go to the gym. I remember going as a family. So we all used to go together to the gym and we would do different things. We would, like, my dad would do weight training, I might do cardio, my mom would do some floor workout, my brother would do something else. But we all essentially went together as a group. So it was not just, you know, pushing just your teenager or just your child to do something, but, you know, doing it as a family. Because that's where, you know, you pick up all your habits. That's where you pick up all your habits subconsciously. And for those who are staying in the hostel, again, you know, being active is a choice you have to consciously make every day. Especially if you live alone, there is no other option but to take care of yourself, because there's no one else who's responsible for you but yourself. So if you are somebody who's staying by themselves in the hostel, whether in school or in college, make a conscious effort to get more active. If you think that's a problem, or tracking that is a problem, you can get apps on your phone which can tell you how active you were throughout the day. If you carry your phone with you, or get yourself a smartwatch or a smart band, these are really, you know, easily available and not that expensive anymore. So figure out ways to get more active. And understand obesity is reversible, PCOS is reversible. Everything that, you know, is wrong with your body right now can be reversed 100%, no questions asked. But it's up to you to make those little changes every single day and be conscious about it. I hope this podcast helps you and has given you some ideas to improve your life or your child's life a little bit better. If there are any questions you have regarding nutrition or workout, you can please write to us. Feel free to do that. And if there are any ideas you have for future podcasts, you're most welcome to share that with us as well. I hope you enjoyed it, and I shall see you next time.